thought for just a second there that I'd just get out the way and let the big preacher preach. But then the big preacher said, I'm going to preach, but I'm going to do it through you. So I'll get on the message here. Proverbs chapter number 28. I want to read one verse of scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart, and that is verse number 13. Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, I love this phrase, shall have a possession now, have mercy. Let me read that again. You think on it. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Let's pray. Father, help us. Lord, we've already felt your presence in the service this morning, and we praise your name for it. God, it's come our time, Lord, that you've given us to preach. I pray that you would help us, anoint us, help us to preach, Lord, with the unction of heaven. Get our minds off the things of the world. Do a work in our midst as only you can, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to begin the message by talking to you about the most horrible thing that is on the face of this planet. There's no way that I can do justice or paint to you or tell you just how horrible sin is. There's no way. There's not enough words in the human language for me to put to it for you to understand just how horrible sin is. Now, we've gotten to the place in our society where we play with it, trivialize it. We've even got to the place in our church where we mock at it and make fun of it. But may I warn you this morning that the fool makes a mockery of sin. Sin's a very serious and terrible and horrible thing. Since the very first sin in the Garden of Eden, since Adam first sinned and partook of the fruit, since that very first sin, man has embarked upon a task of trying to keep his sin covered up and trying to conceal the fact that he has sinned or that he is a sinner. And so there has been this cover up for thousands of years now, but we find, I thought this morning as I was carrying this backpack into church, and I thought about how that sin was kind of like this backpack. How that, you know, you lug it around and it's obvious that I've got it on. But it's almost as like, you know, that man throughout the years has tried to cover up, tried to hide the fact that he's a sinner. And it's kind of like me. I said, everybody knows I've got this backpack and everybody can see it and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to conceal it. I'm going to hide it. Now, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs that he that covereth his own sin shall not prosper. And I've got this backpack hid here. You can't see it. People say, well, that's the craziest thing that was. Preacher, we can still see that backpack. It's still there. You've not got it covered up. You've not got it hidden up. And yet that is what man has tried to do with sin throughout the centuries. They've tried to make like it's not there. They've tried to cover it up. They've tried to make like it's no big deal. Nobody wants to see it. That man that sneaks out of the house at night and tells his wife he's got to work late. But what he's actually doing is having an adulterous affair. He doesn't want that broadcast. He don't want anybody knowing that. And so he goes, Brother Neil, down there to the back alley to the seedy motels. And he does everything to cover up his tracks. And he does everything that he can to keep it hid. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? It's just like putting this over this backpack. The man that covers his own sin will not prosper. You see, the problem with sin is that it's too big to cover up. The cover up never works. The adultery always comes out. I think about the man that's hooked on pornography, things on his computer that he hadn't ought to have. Now, I'm just preaching now. I know we're shouting a minute ago, but you just hang with me. Starts in some little chat room somewhere. Ends up in deeper and getting deeper and deeper and deeper into pornography until finally the things of the visual world no longer satisfies him, and he feels like he has to act on it. And he goes out and he does sexual sins and maybe even commits sexual crimes. And you say, preacher, that'll never be me. I'm going to tell you, the devil will lure you in with a little bait somewhere, but once he gets you snagged, he'll drag you off deeper in the water than you can get out of. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? But we want to cover that up, don't we? We want to make like that don't exist. I'm telling you, this internet age has opened up things to people that never existed before. That's exactly right. When I was growing up, if I wanted to expose myself to some of those things, I had to go and hunt me a magazine. I had to go and shamefaced in a store and buy something. But I'm going to tell you, in the day and hour in which we live, in the darkness of Baptist bedrooms and living rooms across this country, we're allowing things to come into our eyes and into our minds and get into our hearts that have got no business being there. I'm preaching right. Then we carry it into church. And it's just like having that backpack on. It's a weighting us down. We can't worship God because of the sin that's in our life. And rather than dealing with it, we enter in on a big old cover-up. But the Bible said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. I think about how that there are those who have given themselves to the amusements of this world, gossip and bashing people and the tongue and the problems with the tongue. I think of Baptists, God help us. I was reading this week. I mean, we're preaching again. We're preaching on things, and there's people in bad sin in our churches now. There's people that I guarantee you, and you wouldn't think it, but there's people right now in this church that have been in an internet chat room this week talking about things they hadn't ought to talk about, swapping pictures they hadn't ought to swap. Now, I know what I'm preaching. You mark it down. There's people right here in this church house. There's people right here in this church house that if given the opportunity, have a little social drink. You say, we was a shouting preacher. Yeah, but God gave me this message, and he said, preach it. And so here I am, I'm preaching it. And then we want to cover it up. And act like it's not anything. He that covereth his head shall not prosper. You will get caught. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, be sure your sins will find you out. In the cover-up, there's always an uncovering. There's always somebody that uncovers it, and then it's exposed, and then you're called, and then comes the embarrassment, and then comes the horror, the horribleness of it. Would you all agree with me? Sin is a horrible thing. It draws you in. You start with a little bitty something, but before you know it, you're in over your head, and you can't do anything about it, and you feel like you're drowning, and you don't have a spiritual life, and everybody's singing, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, and they're standing up and worshiping God, so you feel like you've got to. But deep down on the inside, you know something ain't right. Some ain't right. You've got a choice today. You can continue to try and cover it up and not prosper, or you can own up to it. Now, would you agree with me this morning? Sin is horrible. It's killing us, church. It's killing us. It's a terrible thing. Like I said earlier, I cannot put words to how horrible sin is. The concealment of sin, it never works. Sin always gets too big. You will get caught. You will get found out. Sin always gets too big. But then we see in here the condition of the sinner. The Bible says he will not prosper. But I'm glad for the little conjunction of sin. Look right here in this verse. And the Bible said, but. I love that word, don't you? But he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now, if we just lop that verse off right there, we could say, amen, the Bible's true and that's right. But isn't it just like God to put a remedy after the condition? God always does that. He don't give you a condition without giving you a remedy. That ought to make you feel like running and shouting. He never diagnoses a condition without giving a remedy. Oh, he's a good doctor. He's always got a cure. And he'll always tell you what the cure is right after he pronounces the condition. I'm glad for this little word, but. You see, this first part of this verse says that a man's a sinner. He's trying to cover it up. And he's not going to prosper. Bad, bad, terrible, bad, bad. But right here, the Bible's telling us, hold the presses. Hang on just a minute. Guess what? There's good news. And in this little word, but, God turns everything around. In this little word, but, God moves everything around. In this little word, but, God says, you do not have to continue in your sin. You do not have to continue with the cover up. Hey, hallelujah. I'm glad today that there is a way out of sin. The word but. Now God gives us two conditions here for the hope that's in Jesus Christ. Look what he says. He says there in verse number 13, but look here, whoso. That means everybody in this building is a candidate to get out from whatever sin it is that you're under. Whoso. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh. So there's two things here. You want out from under sin? Two things, confess and forsake. Now there's a big difference, Sister Karen, between admitting and confessing. Big difference. There's a lot of people gets caught in sin and admits it. But they're only sorry that they got caught. That's the only sorriness they've got is that they've got caught. So they admit, yes, I did wrong. Yes, I did that. But it's after it's been exposed. It's after it's been brought out. It's after it's been discovered. But if you really want to deal with sin in your life, prior to anybody else knowing about it except for you and God putting his finger on that sin in your heart, it takes a confessing to God, not to a priest, not to a preacher, but a confessing to God, a getting down before God and say, God, nobody knows about this that I'm doing except for me and you. Nobody knows what I did last night in the darkness of the night except for me and you. Nobody knows what I said this week except for me and you. Nobody knows what I thought about that person this week except for me and you. But God, I'm coming to you with it and I'm confessing it. I want to tell you, you've seen me do it. You know I did it. And so I'm coming to you, God, with a confession heart. I'm coming to you, God, with confession in my heart. And if you confess your sin, guess what? He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. The second part of that is forsake. Forsake. I wonder how many of us really forsake sin. You know what the problem is, Brother Rick? We get to feeling bad about it at church and we get in the altar just enough, shed enough tears, say just enough things to feel better about it when we leave and say we've done something. But then tomorrow we're right back in it. We failed to forsake it. But we want to claim that mercy part. We want God to have mercy on us without ever having forsook our sin. Huh? Not gonna save folk. Not gonna save folk. Confessing and forsaking. Now the title of this message is what do I do with this sin? So here's the problem. I've got this sin. What do I do with it? The initial reaction, I've got to cover this up. Lord have mercy. I've got to cover this up. And everywhere you go, God says, there it is. There it is. There it is.
Come on now. I've got to cover this up. God says, there it is. What do I do with it? You can't cover it up. Now, there's some people that, and I don't get this at all. There's some people that try to cover it up, and they can't get it covered up, and so for whatever reason, they just go down in it. You know that sin, yeah, that's all right. I mean, seriously, there's people in Baptist churches. They don't even try to cover it up anymore, Brother Rick. These people in Baptist churches used to be embarrassed about things they'd done, but they don't even get embarrassed about it anymore. They just wear it as a badge of honor. What can I do with my sin? There's only one thing, only one way that you can take care of this problem. And that's to bring whatever it is in your life, I don't care what it is, bring it to the feet of Jesus. And say, Lord, right there's my filthy talk. Lord, right there's that filthy show that I watch. Lord, right there's that filthy thing I've been doing. There it is. I confess it, Lord. And I want rid of it. I'm giving it to you. I want you to take it. Now, if we still got any shout in us right here, is where it ought to come out. What is it that the Lord is able to do with our sin? Well, the first thing that he does is he forgives us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care what it is. I brought to the altar adultery. I brought to the altar pornography. I brought to the altar murder. I brought to the altar whatever it might be. When you lay it on the altar, God says, I forgive it. Sins that are unimaginable to our mind. When you bring it to the altar and lay it on the altar, God says, forgiven. Forgiven. That's a Bible promise. You want rid of it? I mean, it's burdening you down. It's holding you back. It's a killing you. You want rid of it? Bring it and put it on the altar and confess it. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even if it's the horrible sins that I just named. That does not matter. Sin is sin. God's a forgiving God, and he can forgive you this morning.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So the first thing that he does when he takes our sins is he wipes the slate clean. He says, you're forgiven. Whoop. Watch this. What else does the Lord do? Another thing that he does is he removes that blot of sin from us. Oh, yes. Apparently, I did not paint a good enough picture of how horrible some of y'all's sin is. It's horrible. Horrible. But for God to remove that blot of sin, for us to even fathom or think or consider that, ought to be enough to make us want to run outside and shout. Because sin's horrible. But listen to what the Bible said about it. The Bible said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. When we bring that sin to him, we no longer have to try and cover it up. There's no longer a cover up, amen? We've brought him that sin. He takes it from us. He says, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And then you don't have to wear that burden of sin back away anymore, because what he does, thank God, is he takes this sin and he opens up the sea of forgiveness. And y'all can y'all see this? He says, hallelujah. Amen. That's my sin, Concord Community. It's gone. He puts it behind his back. Can anybody show me that sin? It's gone. It's gone. He does away with it. No need for us to walk around with our head down, embarrassed about it after we've confessed it to the Lord and forsook it, and he's forgiven it, and he takes away the blot of sin, and he throws it behind his back into the sea of forgetfulness, never be remembered again. Aren't you this morning. That's what he does with sin. When you bring it to him, he gets rid of it. He says, I don't even remember it no more. Done away with. It's gone. And what freedom it is to be able to feel, whoo, get that off my back. I'll tell you, I've done some horrible things in my life. And I've done some horrible things since I got saved. I'd be embarrassed for anybody here to know it. But God knew it. He'd stay on my trail like getting an altar and get it right. And every time I've ever come to him a confession of sin, he's always said, I forgive you. And he's always took that sin and cast it into the lake of forgiveness. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus, our advocate, does with our sin when we go to him. Hey, hallelujah. But I'm about to paint you a picture of something I hope I can get through right here. God the Father. Come here, Billy, stand right there in the pulpit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all three. Trey, you stand down there in front of the pulpit. Amen. Gabe, you come stand right here because I can't stand there and preach. Now I'm going to show you something that God showed me last night about sin. I like to have me a spell, turn stuff over. The Holy Ghost of God walks with us. He's with us. And one of his jobs and operations that when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin. So when I go to pick up a sin, the Holy Ghost says, don't do that. Don't do it. 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 If I go ahead and pick it up anyhow, the whole time I've got it, the Holy Ghost says, you hadn't already done that. You hadn't already. You don't need that. Get rid of that. You hadn't already said that. You hadn't already watched that. You hadn't already done that. Get rid of that. Now the flesh says, I love it. This is what I like. This is what I want. Holy Ghost says, get rid of that, son. It's a holding you back. Get rid of that. It's a doing you in. Get rid of that. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. And then you get in a good Holy Ghost filled service where God's a moving. Oh, and the preachers are preaching and you see a sin. And you say, oh my goodness, I need rid of this stuff. It's killing me. And the Holy Ghost leads you right up here to where Jesus is. Come here. We're going to let Billy be Jesus. And he leads you right to where Jesus is. And you say, Lord, I done this. And he says, I know you did. You say, Lord, I'm sorry about it. And he says, I forgive you. And he takes it and he hides it and it's gone. And then you can leave out with your head up and you've got the Holy Ghost with you. And the Holy Ghost all afternoon says, you did right, son. That was exactly the right thing to do. Don't you feel better? Ain't you feeling good? And you say, well, yeah, Holy Ghost, you're right. I do feel better. Matter of fact, if you'll go back to church with me tonight, me and you gonna run laps around the church house and say, glory, hallelujah, because I feel good. I got rid of my sin. Hallelujah. Feels real good. Now I'll show you something. I'll show you something. Stand right there. Up here's God the Father. Now, every now and again, we know from the book of Job that Satan comes and appears before God. Let me tell you something about Satan. I got this the other day, like to run laps. Satan, if God says, come here, you know what Satan does? Yes, sir. Yeah. When he appears before, if God says, come here, then he appears before God. And when God asks him a question, Satan answers him.
Yeah.
Amen. So we know that Satan appears before God the Father. And what is Satan? He is the accuser of the brethren. Am I telling it right? He is the accuser of the brethren. So, what he does, give me that sin back. What he does is he goes up there and he says, come here, Kenzie. I'm just trying to look at somebody that's unembarrassable. He says, God, He says, Kinsey, she sinned. She sinned. Here it is, God. Well, I had it. See, it's the accuser of the brethren. Kinsey's a terrible sinner. God, I caught her. Caught her this week. God, the Father says, what sins you talking about? Wait a minute. I had them. Where did it go? God, the Father says, I don't know. He says, but listen, I seen Kinsey in an altar confessing it. I know. God said, I've never seen none of that. You say, you mean to tell me God the Father don't see me when I get in an altar and confess my sins? No, that's the Holy Ghost in Jesus Christ's office. Let me show you something. You can sit down. Let me show you something. Watch this. Stand right here where you're at. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Amen. For there is no difference. Amen. How strong you, boy? Carry me.
Carry you?
Hallelujah. Ain't that heavy, Billy. Let's go. Hey, when God the Father, when he looks down and sees me, he don't see me.
That's right.
He sees the righteousness of his Son.
You're right, preacher.
And the Bible said, and there is no difference. Woo! Now the Holy Ghost sees when I sin and goes, that's a sin. You need to get that right. He that covereth his sin cannot prosper. The Lord Jesus Christ sees when I sin. And he says, son, bring that to me and let me forgive that and get that off of you. But I'm going to submit to you a fact. Since the day that I got saved, God the Father's never seen me sin. Let me show it to you in the Bible. The Bible said in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Let me give you another verse of scripture. There's another verse right here that says all things, Paul said, are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Did you know that the Bible teaches us in 1 John that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not? That's the book. But we know we sin. But God don't know it. Because Jesus Christ took the handwritings and the ordinances that were against us and he nailed them to his cross. And he took them out of the way. What are you saying, preacher? Are you saying that we can't sin? And are you saying that we can just live however we want to? God forbid. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we have been loosed from the bonds of sin, why would we desire to dwell any more therein? I'm going to submit to you this fact. As a saved man, all things are lawful to me. That's the Bible. That's what Paul said. He said that not anything's unlawful, but he said that not all things are expedient. In other words, what Paul's saying is he's saying, when you're saved, I can go out here and kill 24 people and I'm just as saved as I was before I started. Now, that's exactly right. But it's not expedient. Now, if a God that loved you so much that he saved you from your sin, washed you whiter than snow, put your feet on a solid rock, started you toward heaven, if he loves you that much, why wouldn't you love him back? We stood up and said, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Why wouldn't you do that? If God's really been that good to you and you're really saved by the marvelous grace of God and you've really been born again and he really has washed out those handwritings or ordinances that was against you and he's put that sin as far as the east is from the west, it ought to put a desire in our heart to live right and do right. It ought to put a desire in our heart to try to be more like God. He's holy and so we ought to be holy. It ought to put a desire in our heart to quit covering up our sin and be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, right here's my sin. I'm giving it to you. I want you to take the burden of it off of me because I know you don't intend for me to walk around with it anymore. And the Holy Ghost says, see, here's the beautiful thing about the Holy Ghost. I walk in church, take up my little spot, and sit down. And the preacher's preaching, and the Holy Ghost said, you know he's talking to you. You know there's that sin that you need rid of. When you stood up, sing pledge allegiance to the Lamb. You stood up, sing pledge allegiance to the Lamb, and the Holy Ghost the whole time's going, do you really mean that? What about that sin in your life? Do you really mean it? Here in just a minute, when I give an altar call, that Holy Ghost, you're going to be standing there going, I ain't going to that altar. I don't want to be ashamed. That Holy Ghost is going to be pulling on you. Come on, let's go to the altar. Let's go to the altar. Jesus is going to be standing there saying, come, come, come. Get rid of that stuff. You don't have to live like you're living. Come. If you're a lost person, you ain't got the Holy Ghost with you. But let me tell you what the Holy Ghost will do. He'll slide in there and you'll feel a touch from another land that you've never felt before. Oh my goodness, what is this? Making my heart race, making me feel funny all inside. I never even felt such a thing. That's the Holy Ghost of God. He's going, let's go get an altar and get things right. Let's get an altar and get things right. And the Lord Jesus is saying, come, come, come. I'm going to paint you a stark difference right here, and I'm done preaching. I need a... Come here, Neil. Come here, Caleb. You lock arms with them. Come here, Caleb. Stand right there. Turn around this right like I guess. Just for this illustration, Neil's going to be our saved man, Caleb's going to be our lost man. Let me show you the biggest difference right here. Neil can get sin in his life and the Holy Ghost will go, that's sin. Get in an altar, get it right with the Lord Jesus Christ who's saying, come, come, come. All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come, come. He can bring it, give it to the Lord. Done. Here's the big difference. God the Father up here, when the accuser of the brethren runs by and says, Neil, he's a sinner. He's a sinner. God the Father says, I don't know what you're talking about. Caleb, our picture of a lost man, he has no advocate. So God sees everything Caleb does. Caleb don't get away with nothing. He don't get by with anything. God's keeping a record. He sees. He knows. He gets by with nothing. And in the end, he stands alone. Let me paint to you this picture, and I'm going to give an altar call. God, help us. On the outward appearance, you might say that there's not that much difference between these two. They're both about the same height, both men. Both sitting on a church pew on a Sunday morning. But in the spiritual realm for this illustration, there's a grand difference. Because before God, one stands alone. And before the God, the other one stands not only accompanied by, but placed into the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that God can tell no difference between the two. What am I going to do with my sin? Here's the problem with the lost man. The old devil says, if you get saved, like that preacher says, you'll have to give up all that fun stuff you've been doing. Now the Holy Ghost is with me, but come here, Holy Ghost. He'll go to pulling on that lost man, like I said during that altar call, go to pulling on him. Satan say, wait a minute, listen. You know that's going to be embarrassing. Because everybody already thinks you're saved. Just stay where you're at. It'll be embarrassing. It's going to be embarrassing to get up here in front of people. I've got a good time plan for us this week. Just take it out. It'll be over in just a minute. It'll be over in just a second. You see the warfare that goes on? You don't even realize it. You don't even realize it's happening. But during every altar call, that's warfare right there that's going on. The Holy Ghost saying, come on. Come on. Satan saying, let's give it another day. You can get saved tomorrow. That's always next Sunday. You know the saddest thing in Satan's mind that ever happens is when that Holy Ghost gives that one good tug and that sinner says, I'm a going. And the Satan says, Satan says, I had him, I had him, he was mine. Gets up from the altar, walk away with him, Holy Ghost. And then later that week, when the old devil sees that newly saved sinner, that newly saved convert sin, he'll run up to God and he'll say, you remember that fellow me and you talked about last week? Oh, Caleb, I called him. I knew he'd get it back in a mess and I seen him. God says, I don't even know what you're talking about no more. Oh, that's gone. I ain't seen that in a whole long time. And I say, glory to God. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. Amen. That's what the Lord says. Why wouldn't you want in on such a grand thing? Now then, Caleb gets caught in sin. Holy Ghost says, that's wrong, son. Before, when he got caught in sin, the devil said, good job. That's exactly right. Oh, we're having fun. Keep on doing it. But now things has changed. There's somebody on the inside going, you know that ain't right. You know that ain't right. You ain't living where you need to be. You stood up during a pledge of allegiance to the Lamb, but you don't even really mean it. Oh, get in this altar. Let's confess it and get it right. Right back down to the altar. You see how the Holy Ghost always leads toward the altar? And Jesus is always standing there saying, come. Come. Hallelujah, folks. They don't tell how many trips I've made in my Christian life. It's me again, Lord. Trent, I've never had him look at me and go, sorry, I've run out of grace. I've never seen him look at me, Brother Rick, say, sorry, I don't feel merciful today. I've never had him look at me, Brother Marvin, and say, you know what? I've decided I'm not going to be long-suffering. But every time, he welcomes me back. Whoop! Let's stand our feet. Y'all can be seated. Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us this morning. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you've been here. Oh, my goodness, it's been good to be around where you're at. I pray for, first and foremost, for those that are here today and lost. They've come into your church house strangers this morning. They never have been saved. They never have been born again. I pray first and foremost for them. Lord, that you'd help them to come and to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Then I also pray for saints of God, people that are saved. But in their life, there's things that they know are holding them back, sins that are keeping them from being what they ought to be. Lord, I pray that you'd help them come and lay them on the altar this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to confess them to you and to forsake them when they leave this place. God, help us, Lord, to get right with you. and to be holy, for you're holy. Do that now as only you can. We'll thank you for all that's done in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Altar's done filling up. God's dealing with your heart. You walked in here with some sort of burden of sin. You walked in here with something that's keeping you from worshiping the Lord. You walked in here with something that's holding you back. You walked in here with something that you've been carrying around. And you say, boy, I'm tired of this. I want rid of it. I want to be done with it. I want to get it over with. I want to do away with it. I want to bring it to the Lord and confess it this morning. The Spirit and the bride saith, come. Jesus says, come. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord says, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come, bring that sin to me. Come, and I'll take it off of your back. And you can leave out of here a lighter load. You can leave out of here ready to worship. Many saved around the altar praying, but I wonder if there might be one here today that's lost. Say, preacher, I never have been let loose from that sin. I'm still under it. I don't have that advocate. But I want to come today and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. I want to come be saved. I wonder if there'd be one. Slip out from where you're at. Come fall on this altar and ask God to save you before it's everlasting too late while these Christians are praying. Preacher, I'm coming this morning, never have been saved, but I want my sins done away with. I want them writing and ordinances that were against me. I want that to be gone. I want to come and confess him. How about it this morning? How about it today? Preacher, I want to come be saved. I want to come be saved. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for all these honest hearts. As far as I know, all saved folk, Christians, Lord, if there's one in this altar that's lost, I pray that you'd help them to realize that and that they'd cry unto you and be saved. But Lord, Christians that are gathered around the altar this morning for prayer, I pray today, Lord, that whatever it is that they've brought to this altar this morning, that they've left it right here. God, if they'll go forward, be able to serve you in a way that'd be pleasing to you. Do that as only you can. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You stay till you get done. Well, I say hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord is able to take away sin. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful? Amen. Be back.